Yesterday, a sweeping bill, as it's been described, to speed up new housing starts. Not many would have a problem with that, but let's dive into the details of it with the Minister of Housing. He's also an MPP in Markham-Stouffville. He is Paul Calandra. Minister, thank you very, very much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is obviously so important. What are some of the highlights? If people missed the announcement yesterday, there was a certain politician testifying yesterday afternoon, stole a little bit of your thunder. So give me a sense as to what the brass tacks is, the meat and potatoes is at the eye level for people to know about what your announcement was.
Yeah, really multiple tracks on this one, frankly. Yesterday was, again, about speeding up processes to get shovels in the ground faster and really doubling down and focusing on water and infrastructure on it. So that we've introduced a use it or lose it as part of this new bill, which means that water and wastewater that is not being used can be reallocated to other developments where they're ready to go. We introduced a new initiative on student housing for universities. So we're exempting them from the Planning Act so that they can, as of right, get student housing built very, very quickly across the province. We eliminated parking minimums around major transit station areas. These are old, outdated regulations dating back to the 70s. So reduce the price of housing and get more housing built along those corridors faster. So a whole suite of things, which also build on some of the announcements we made leading up to it, mainly the $1.8 billion in infrastructure on sewer, upgrading sewer and water capacity across the province, because it frankly was the number one thing we kept hearing. If you want millions of homes built, you got to give us the sewer and water capacity to do it.
Yeah.
So this bill is really targeted on unleashing that opportunity across Ontario.
I think the elimination of the parking quota for transit is pretty important. I'm in Ajax. You're further west, sort of north of where I am. But most people that use the GO train, and we're strongly encouraged, take the GO whenever you can, we still end up having to drive there. People aren't going to walk 40 minutes to a GO station. So we get in our car, we drive the 5-6 minutes away, we get on the GO train. We can eliminate that by putting a lot more people within walking distance of these stations.
Yeah, 100%. And a bit overlooked yesterday, we also posted the new provincial planning statement, which shows more aggressive development around these major transit station areas. And that coincides, of course, with the transit-oriented community program, which is about building densely around these massive investments that we're making. Because just that, like, you know, we have a couple of great GO train stations, brand new stations in Stouffville. To build around those, people can get to walk to the station. So it's, again, it's really targeted about just that, getting infrastructure, getting homes built, and getting out of the way.
Paul Calandra is our guest housing minister for the province on 640 Toronto, Toronto Today. Now, I talked to several GTA mayors. They're pretty happy, but I think the consumer needs some assurance that some of the taxes on new housing doesn't go through the roof. Frozen prior were development charges and community benefit fees. And now is the potential not there for that to be open season again, depending on the municipality and depending on the mayor?
No, so there is still a freeze on DC. So as opposed to a 24-month freeze, it's down to an 18-month freeze. We're kind of tying it into our use it or lose it on the sewer and water because we want to get shovels in the ground faster. And where we have modified the DCs beyond that, it's focused on sewer and water. So we extensively work with the home builders and with municipalities. We said, look, what is the obstacle? And they kept saying, sewer and water, sewer and water, sewer and water. Give us certainty on time, give us certainty on cost, and we will get these homes built. So in line with this, too, is something we introduced yesterday as well, where we're eliminating third-party appeals to the Ontario Land Tribunal. That has been holding up about 70,000 housing units. And we keep hearing from municipalities and builders, if you could get that out of the way, we could save time and significant money. So it's a whole suite of options encapsulated in the one bill. You can't take any one thing in isolation. And that's part of the problem about bringing a housing bill, frankly. It's really a bunch of targeted issues to help unleash the housing and reduce costs.
Can you and the province hit your targets with interest rates where they are right now? We hear from a lot of people who build for a living, developers, construction workers, and they say we're stuck at 5%. The work has stalled. They keep waiting for that call to go into this subdivision, that subdivision. the shovels can't hit the ground with the cost being the startup cost being what they are right now. You must be hearing this at the ground floor.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very, very worried about that. It's not only that the home builders can't get shovels in the ground because of the challenges with the high interest rates. It is then also the people who want to buy those homes are struggling under the higher interest rates. And so it is a double-edged sword. And that's why in this phase, we're focusing on infrastructure so heavily so that as we get those interest rates come down, we're actually ready to build. And also why we're focusing on areas that already have infrastructure on the ground around the major transit station areas, the university campuses. I am worried about it, though. I would be misleading if I said I wasn't somewhat worried, because we're hearing it from developers and home buyers. First time home buyers in particular are just, they're struggling, right? And we got to do everything we can to encourage those. I was really frustrated yesterday when we didn't see a rate cut.
Story in the Toronto Star this morning about encampments in the city. I think we've gone from this being a big city problem where you might expect it sporadically. I see them in Durham region. I bet you see them in your riding as well.
100%.
Yeah. We really need all levels of government to work together. What would you espouse that the province can do better and in concert with these other levels of government to stop this flow? This is only going in one direction, and as much as we hate to see it, if we don't talk about it, it's not going to get fixed.
No, you're not wrong. And some of the direct deals that we've made with Toronto and Ottawa, for instance, help to deal with that, address some of the issues. But you're right. Like, we're seeing, in Stouffville, we're seeing for the first time, we're seeing issues like this in Stouffville and small towns across the province of Ontario. It's many different things. We've got to do better on getting affordable housing built. We're doing that also in this bill, not just straight back to the bill. We're eliminating development charges on all affordable housing as of June 1st. But there needs to be more than just housing. It's about wraparound services as well. We've got to do better on with our police forces, better with mental health and addictions, we're hearing on this, and better wraparound services if we're going to address this all across the, frankly, across the country, not just across the province.
I'm sure I hear you say affordable housing, and I have a picture of what it means. Could you define it? If you and I were pals and we were shopping for a place together, we'd put our incomes together. We'd know what we could afford and what we couldn't. But I don't know that affordable housing is the same amount of money for everybody else. And when we go from homeless to affordable, I see condos being built all the time in Ajax, Minister, and they're $850,000. That's not affordable to go from homeless to $850,000.
Yeah, bang on. Yeah, that's certainly not what we consider affordable housing. And again, another challenging one, because our new definition on affordable housing is unique from community to community to community, because costs are so much higher in Toronto. So that affordable level has to be much higher in let's say, in the GTA than it would be in Sudbury. So the way the formula really works is it takes income in the communities and home pricing in the communities and comes to an average, so that every community can have a tailored affordable housing solution to them. Because as we know, as you said, it is much more expensive to live in our neck of the woods than other parts of the province. So we modified the definition to be able to respond to unique. We're going one step further, not to do this, but we're also bringing forward an attainable housing program for that middle, where people have a good family income, but because of high interest rates and the increase in cost of housing, they've just been unable to get into the market.
I got you.
Got to get people into the market.
I got you. Paul Calandra, thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
There's the housing minister, Paul Calandra.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.